Good morning. We have a wonderful full room of people. I'm Judy Wilkinson. This is my first meeting as your president. I'm thrilled to be your president. I'm nervous, believe it or not, as big a mouth as I've got. I'm really nervous, but I'm really excited. We've got some wonderful things to talk about today. We're going to rebuild this chapter and go forward and have a wonderful next few years. By the end of my presidency, we're going to be meeting in Salon A and B and not in one of these little podunk rooms. Let's hear it. Hey! So, because I told him he could get back to what he was doing, because he's a man wearing 56 hats, including managing the exhibit room and being the treasurer for this organization. He gave a fabulous report at the board meeting yesterday. Is our treasurer, and we're glad to have him to give his report. We're going to begin with Peter Pardini. I'm going to hand Peter the...
Thank you, Judy. And I owe the group an apology for missing a couple meetings.
All's forgiven.
Thank you. California Chapter Library Uses of America Treasurer's Report for the period October 29th, 2010 to May 13th, 2011. Beginning balance, $130. We collected membership dues in the amount of $400. Total deposits, $400. And during this period, we had one reimbursement to CCB in the amount of $50 for our affiliate chapter dues. So our ending balance is $530.
It's always best to be in the red.
Yeah.
Thank you, Peter.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yes. Oh, I heard somebody say the magic words. I need to pay my dues.
That was me.
And you know, I've got to say, it has been hard for people to pay their dues. Because we try to run around and collect them, you know, during this meeting. But you know what? We're not going to do that. We're going to take your name and get that information out to you so that we can get dues paid in a more orderly fashion, and so that it isn't hit and miss, and so that you know when you've paid your dues, so that you know when they're renewed. And one of my top priorities is to get everybody's phone number or email and or both. And I promise you, from time to time, one of your officers will be in touch with you personally. We want to have a hands-on organization where your offices are in touch with you. We're going to start to get rid of that notion that if you belong to Kahlua, you don't get anything for your money. We hear that all too often, and we're going to start to make sure people get something for their money. And one of the things they're going to get is attention from their officers. In that light, as we go around the room, I'm going to ask you to shout out. We don't usually ask for anything beyond your name, but if you would also give us a phone number. Frankly, that's a lot easier than email, and it's a lot more accurate. It don't matter whether you're a member, whether you've paid your dues. If you're in this room, you're a friend of the library users, and we'd like to know who you are and how to reach you. So, and if you feel that you don't want to do that, that's fine too. But I'm going to start by doing that myself, introducing myself. I'm Judy Wilkinson. My phone number is 510-357-1844. And by the way, an easy way to reach me by email is editor@, can anybody give me the rest? ccbnet.org. So editor@ccbnet.org gets email to me. I'm going to pass it to my right, to Ann.
All right. I'm Ann Kaiser, your new Kahlua secretary, and probably the best way to get a hold of you is my cell, 916-812-1545.
Hi, I'm Carol Heinzman, and my phone number is 916-971-9337, and I'm just a visitor here, but I am a user of the Talking Book Library.
My name is Regina Brink, and my phone number is 0662, and I'm an interested Braille user as well.
Mike Marlin, and you can reach me at the library at 916-654-0640 or toll free 1-800-952-5666 and press 3 for library director from our new automatic call distribution system.
And Mike is our luncheon speaker today.
Hi, I'm Valerie Reese Lerman, and I'm a reader advisor at the Braille and Talking Book Library. And you can reach me at 916-654-0640 or 1-800-952-5666. Thank you.
Venus Dickens, and I'm just a visitor, although we both, my husband and I, use the library services. And our phone number is 916-514-6207.
Yeah, say those numbers nice and slow.
And I'm Charles Dickens, and also we have a email, which is NASA 95825@yahoo.com. And
if you're Charles Dickens, I'm Madame Lafarge.
Well, I'm pleased to know you.
Thank you, Charles. Pampology.
Hi, I'm Pampology from the San Gabriel Valley chapter in Southern California. I'm the treasurer, and I'm a visitor here today. I am a Braille user. I'm trying to get into the library down there, and it's been really hard. But anyway, my telephone number is 626 area code. It's 445-7297. Thank you very much. God bless.
Good afternoon. Good morning. I'm Pam Metz. I'm one of the board members. My phone number is 310. Oh, I'll give you the house number. Never mind. 818. I don't like to give my cell phone number out. 818-775-5799.
Risa?
Oh, I'm Risa Gibson, and the area code 510-619-6210.
Kristen?
Well, if he's Charles Dickens, I'm Ray Bradbury. My name's Preston Moses, 510-222-2539.
My name is Pam Loveland, telephone number, area code 209-848-0306.
And I'm Linda Amati, and I would sure like to meet and shake hands with Valerie because she's my reader advisor. But anyway, my phone number is 209-848-0448.
Thank you. Hey, Steve.
Hello, I'm Steve Fort, president of BRLC, and my home phone is 510-521-4386. And if I'm not home, you can always leave a message on the AT&T voicemail. Thank you.
Ma'am?
To me? I'm Diane Phelps, D-I-A-N-N-E, from Napa, California. Telephone is 707-257-2661. Evelyn?
I'm Evelyn Drury from the San Diego area, and the phone number I'm going to give is 619-583-1542, extension 127. It's my work number.
Okay, this is Josie Conkling, and my phone number is area code 916-486-6310.
Diane Phelps from Vacaville, and my phone is 707-446-1333.
Jerry? Wow, what are the odds of that? This is Jerry Arakawa, past president of Kalua. I've had the privilege of being president for 4 years, and I really think that Judy's going to be a great president. Gotten off to a great start, and I'm glad to see you there, Judy. The easiest way to reach me is on my cell, 310-569-4347.
Hi, good morning. My name is Alice McGrath. I'm from the Silicon Valley chapter, and I'm a visitor. This is my first meeting with you folks. It's a pleasure. My work number is 650-858-0202, extension 130. Thank you.
Good morning. David Hoffman from the Silicon Valley chapter, also a visitor, first time. Work number is 408-232-1989.
Thanks, David. Rob? Oh. We've had a number of people enter the room.
Okay, came in. It's Rob Turner, and the work number is 650-644-3422.
Let's see. Hi, this is Tom Randall from the Greater San Joaquin Valley Fresno chapter, and my phone number is 559-943-7251.
Thanks, Tom. Connie?
Hi. Oh. Where's the mic? Thanks. Hi, my name is Connie Bateman, and I'm a board member of Kalua, and my phone number is 916-203-5300. And Jerry Arakawa, I need to see you. I owe you $20.
Steve?
I'm Steve Mendelson. Among other things, Judy Wilkinson's husband. It means I share the same phone number, but the best way for her to reach me is to open up the dial. Hey, yo, come here.
Did I miss anybody?
Is anyone not said their name?
Yes, I'm Anthony Signorello. I'm with the Glendale Burbank chapter of CCB.
Thank you. Give you my best number to get in touch with. This is Peter Pardini.
Great.
And I can be reached at 415-990-9202.
Thanks, Peter. Are you going to get back to your other hat?
Yeah, I probably should.
No. Okay. Yeah. Was it lunch?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Well, it's wonderful to have you all here. One of the things, I'm going to kind of give you know how the governor and the president, they give the State of the Union. I want to give sort of a state of the chapter and talk about things that we want to do moving forward. Donna Pomerantz wrote to me in February when the library was having some difficulties. As it turns out, much of the program in trouble were largely saved, but the flags, the red flags sort of went up that maybe at some point our NLS service here in California, our library, our state library here in Sacramento might, you know, and the NLS service might down the line be looking at some funding losses. So Donna wrote to me and she said, so Judy, what is Kalua's plan of action here? And I'm thinking, plan of action? Roster? Phone numbers? Members? It's like you look behind you and nobody's following. So I decided I want to be a better Pied Piper. So, as I said, getting your numbers, and I realize that now this is going to be archived forever, and that they can tell me I shouldn't have done it, but now I've got your numbers. We want to stay in touch for a number of reasons. I'm going to begin a mini newsletter. Now, we're not going to use the N word because that's just too onerous to be putting out newsletters. But I'm going to be writing a little, you know, pen, something from the president's pen, every few weeks. So, and send it to everybody. So when we call you, we will get email. And for those of you who don't have email, we'll find out another way to get you, the information. We'll get it to you in Braille or some other way. I haven't figured that out yet, but we ain't going to leave anybody out who doesn't get on the internet. The first thing I'll report to you is what happens in Nevada at the National Convention with the various library users meetings. And, you know, if we think we're having some challenges, the national organization definitely has some challenges. And I really hope to have some impact and some influence on helping the national level chart what it's going to do going ahead. The first thing I want to ask them is what they're doing with our money. Because a certain percentage of our dues money goes to the national. And we want to find out, you know, what's happening with that money. So I will be getting a report out when I get back. I'm just going on my own hook. As an excited participant this year, but my primary responsibility as your president will be to go to the activities of the Braille users and the library users. One of the things I'm a little concerned about, let me begin by saying that in the fall we'll be electing three officers, and I'll mention those now. We'll be electing the vice president, that position currently held by Pat Wolf, who feels she will not be able to run again. The treasurer's position, which is now held by Peter Pardini. And Connie Bateman's board position is due to be voted, that position, that at-large board position, will be up in the fall. But this made me notice that all of our elections are held in Southern California. And that means many from Northern California are not able to vote. So one of the things I want to suggest, and again, a lot of this is I'm going on, I had to make some decisions because I didn't have a lot of the information. The office didn't get me information that I needed. So whether you like it or not, this convention, I'm your delegate. I'm also your representative on the nominating committee, and Jerry Arakawa is your alternate delegate. Again, I think we need to take some action so that that doesn't happen quite so haphazardly in the future. But I want to look at the option of having our elections held by ballot so that statewide members can vote. And that's not fair?
Yes, fair.
Oh, okay. Yes, of course. I'm gonna. If anybody wants to stop me once I get going, as the train gets out of the station, it's really hard to slow me down. And so if you have a question, you just have to kind of yell out, because we have a speaker to get to, and we have some Terry Hayes sales to get to. We want to get to some of that before we're done. We want to talk about her. So I'm suggesting forming a Constitution and Bylaws Committee to look at our Constitution and bylaws. They should all be looked at periodically. And I've asked the best lawyer I know in the room, my husband, Steve Mendelson, to chair that committee, and I'll be appointing other members. And if anybody else knows that they would like to join that committee. There's other things that we would like to look at. In fact, Steve mentioned one. He said, you know, when people hear California Library Users of America, it's like the big snore. So we may want to look at changing our name, because people, you know, think of libraries, you know, maybe just the NLS service, because that's the library most blind folks use. But, you know, we all do other things with our reading lives. And there are other ways now to be involved in the reading world. Now, we do, we may have some obligation to the national for the, for something about the name, but I think we could probably choose our own local name. And so I want the committee to look at that. I want them to look at perhaps a more statewide fair voting system. And while we're at it, we're going to, as I say, look at a better way to collect dues so that records are kept and so that you know when your dues need to be paid. And so Steve will be chairing that committee. And at this moment, do I have anyone else in the room who's just dying to serve on that committee? I will come twist arms, but I'll take volunteers first.
I'm a volunteer.
Oh, are you sure?
Yes.
All right. All right, Peter's on that committee. Anybody else?
I'll do it.
Great. Anne will do it. That's two of our board members. I want somebody else that's not on the board. Come on.
I'd like to do something if I can.
Who's that? Moses? You're on. You're on. So we've got the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, and we'll have a report. Again, that's what the mini newsletter would be for. That's what we'll be in touch with you about. I also, you know, when Donna calls me again, I want to see my A by maybe having a phone tree in place so that if I know, for instance, God, we got to have somebody at the state capitol tomorrow. Ann, can you buzz over there? Or one of the other Sacramento folks, could you go over maybe to that hearing and represent us? We need to be able to step up to the plate when our help is called for. So we're going to be looking at membership and, Pam Metz has volunteered to be the chair of kind of membership renewal. And Pam, can we hear your voice? She's right there. You know that Metz household, they're about on every committee in the state. Have I got somebody else in the room who'd like to serve with Pam? As I say, before I come twist your arm, somebody else who'd like to serve. You can do it. Who's that?
Jerry.
That'd be fabulous. We would love to have your expertise. So Jerry will work with Pam. Steve Ford, can I dragoon you?
Sure.
Okay, we got another person there. I mean, you know, as I say, I'm just gonna, you know, you don't volunteer or you're gonna be dragged hauling and screaming. So that's a good core of the committee, and I may look to add, if anybody gets out of the room later and says, my conscience is bothering me, I didn't volunteer for anything, I could step up to the plate, you can definitely give me a call and I will put you to work. Has Mr. Shouchard come into the room?
Madam President?
Yes?
Are we going to have minutes and treasurer's report?
We did the treasurer's report.
Oh,
do we have minutes?
Where was I?
Do you have minutes?
I do.
Oh, you see, I didn't somehow realize you were taking, did you take minutes in the fall?
Yes.
That is a bonus. Thank you for asking me, Anne. As I said, the train got going. So if you would be ready to read the minutes, that would be a terrific idea.
Okay, these are the minutes from the October 30th. Kahlua Business Meeting, October 30th, 2010. The meeting was called to order at approximately 10:50 a.m. by President Jerry Arakawa. Unfortunately, there was only one wireless microphone at our disposal, thereby making it very difficult for audience participation to be picked up for recording and archiving purposes. President Arakawa opened the meeting by presenting the agenda for both the business meeting and luncheon. Bear with me with this thing. Next followed introductions showing that 18 members are 18 in attendance. Kahlua Secretary Debbie Berry was unable to attend this convention. Therefore, there was no reading of minutes from the spring 2010 business meeting. President Arakawa, let me just move this over a little bit. President Arakawa then discussed membership renewals, encouraging everyone to pay the annual dues of $20 for 2011, 12 of which goes to the national organization. Two members of the audience commented that despite having paid dues for 2010, they had not received confirmation of membership from either the state or national organizations, nor had they received the semiannual national newsletter, the Lua Ledger. This led to a discussion regarding the lack of accountability to the membership, as well as the pros and cons of maintaining our affiliation with Lua. President Arakawa promised to contact both Treasurers Pardini and Rushville to address these concerns. As it stands now, California appears to be the only active state affiliate of Lua. In the absence of Treasurer Peter Pardini, President Arakawa will be collecting dues and taking down membership info during the remainder of the business meeting and luncheon. Okay, Lee Morton then proposed that Kalua perhaps consider starting a newsletter similar to that of the national organization. This could eventually serve as an excellent forum for the exchange of valuable information on all topics related to California Library Services. This will also come up as a topic for discussion future Kalua meetings. President Arakawa then gave a brief treasurer's report. Our balance as of the April meeting, April 2010 meeting was $514. We hope to have the current balance available at the spring meeting. Next followed elections for president, secretary, and one board member. President Arakawa then announced that due to increased responsibilities on the job, he will not be seeking a third term as president. Luckily for us, he will remain on the board as immediate past president. He then expressed his appreciation to the membership for their input and support over these past 4 years. The election results were as follows. President Judy Wilkinson, Secretary Ann Kaiser, and member at large Pam Metz. Next fall, we will hold elections for vice president, treasurer, and the second board seat. The newly elected officers will assume their positions immediately following the business meeting. The meeting was adjourned at 11:35 a.m. Respectfully submitted, Ann Kaiser, secretary.
Do we have a good secretary or what? Yes. I need a motion for adopting the minutes.
Second.
I need a motion.
So moved.
Thanks, Peter. Second, back there?
Yeah.
Who's that?
This is Linda.
Thank you. Thank you. Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. That's enough. We don't need to hear any of those. Were fabulous minutes. I really appreciate it. Okay, at this moment, then, I'm going to go on to something a little bit more. I just had a thought. Peter, you still here?
Yeah.
If there are people in the room who know in their hearts that they should pay dues, could you raise your hand and would you go around?
Yeah, not a problem.
Yeah, I think we need to do that.
Yeah.
We need some money, so go and make sure, you know, just Peter knows how to do it.
Is it $20?
It's $20, and I promise to find out what everybody's doing with it. I'll tell you a little bit. For instance, one of the things we're doing with a little bit of our money today is we have our guests at the luncheon, and BRLC and Kalua are hosting our guests. So we will be, that'll be a little bit of where your money goes. I'm going to go on to the fun stuff. Does anybody, we don't have a formal new business, old business. Is there other business I've forgotten that I've mentioned?
Madam President?
Yes. Yes, Jerry.
In reference to the minutes, I wanted to let the membership know that I did indeed speak to Adam Rushable, who's the current treasurer of National Library Users of America. And I conveyed to him, I think I used the phrase, very serious concerns from the state affiliate as to, number one, what's happening with Lua. I specifically asked him about the ledger, and because I don't think anyone's received it. I know I haven't gotten it in at least 6 months.
Yes, Jerry, I'm just going to interrupt you. I talked to Judy Cannon because she and I were in guide dog school together. There has not been a ledger published in well over a year.
Wow. Okay. So I then, good. I was about to jam the post office for a lost mail. But anyway, I did speak to him and I said, you know, the membership is concerned about the, about what's happening with the dues. As we mentioned already, 40% of our $20 goes to the national organization. Oh, I'm sorry, 60%. It's $12. Yeah, 60% goes to the national and the remaining $8 go to, actually to us and partly to the CCB. So, he kind of pleaded the fifth in that he said, well, you know, these are policy issues that we really, need to raise with the board because I'm just a treasurer, you know, he said he would speak to, or raise the issue at the board, whether that actually happened or not. I don't know, because I spoke to him about 3 months ago. So that's all I can tell you, Judy. If you need to talk to him, he already has a heads up on this issue.
Good. That, you know, that just means whatever all of us do this summer at the meeting, we'll just reinforce that. Thank you, Jerry.
Okay. Peter?
I have one more thing to mention that I looked at my notes finally. As part of sort of our reminding people in this state that most of them could benefit by joining this affiliate, I'm going to start wearing my BC hat now and ask all the statewide affiliates to have a chance to write an article about what they do, what their membership is, what their plans are. And because I can, we're going to start with CLUA. And that's kind of be, you know, that Pam's membership. But I've asked Connie Bateman to write an article for the BC, and I'm hoping it'll be in the fall issue, basically presenting CLUA to the state and the state to CLUA. So that is one of the first things that I've put in motion and am looking forward to have happen. Anybody else want the floor for the minute? Any other questions out there? As I used to say to my English classes, remember, no hands in the air. We love Bookshare.
All right. We're definitely glad to hear that. Thank you. Just some new items of interest for Bookshare. The membership is now, or the subscribers are now at 135,000. Yeah, most of that is...
How many people in this room are Bookshare users? Say I. Good.
All right. Okay, so, and remember, students get to be member, it's free. There's no charge for students. So I always want to keep...
Rob, somebody here says, you know, they don't... Let's have a quick overview of what Bookshare is and then go on and give the rest of your remarks. Just tell...
Bookshare
there's a few people
is an
who don't know.
Online library for individuals
let's
who
have, attention.
Have a print handicap. We serve the blind and we serve individuals who have a learning disability. And... it's basically the books are provided in two, DAISY and BRF, which is our Braille ready format. Typically what individuals would do is download the BRF files and read them on their refreshable Braille plays or the note takers, whatever they have. The good thing is that our collection is continuing to expand. Now we have over 100,000 books in the library. There are 135 publishers who have agreed to provide electronic content to Bookshare. because when Bookshare first started, the material was provided almost exclusively by volunteers who actually scanned the books in and proofread them. So it's a, you can imagine it's a lot more efficient if we can get these books in an electronic format and use our conversion tools to produce the DAISY and the BRF files. Another thing that's going to be of interest, I know there are probably a number of iPhone, iPad, and iTouch users. We will have, I was hoping it would be out by the convention so I could announce it, but we're still waiting for Apple's approval for our application that will allow you to download and read our books on these devices. And then the other some of the publishers that have been added recently, Harlequin, Wiley and Sons, Peterson's, there's some academic publishers. We've got several university presses, including the University of British Columbia, UC Berkeley, Yale, Harvard, and I'm probably missing a few. We also have a application program interface now, which is going to be used by access technology, so that instead of actually going to our website, just like on the iPad, you'll actually do all this with a different interface, so you won't be having to use your web browser and so forth. So if anyone is interested in developing apps or anything, it's developer.bookshare.org. And for Bookshare news, you can just go to blog.bookshare.org. And also, I understand we're on Facebook, too. So not that I know anything about that. But anyway, so that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. And boy, does does Rob provide great tech support when you need him at Bookshare. That's for sure. You know, Beth, I know you've come into the room, but we'd like to hear everybody's name so that we know who's in the room with us. So could you not only say your name, but if anybody else raises their hand, maybe pass them the mic?
Yeah, easily.
Great.
Hi, it's Beth Berenson, and y'all know me from the Lighthouse.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know. PM's trying to disown me, but too late.
And Beth produces one of the finest pieces of work, which is her update each week.
Entertainment and recreation listing.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you should move.
Well, in fact...
Is anyone else new that I can pass this on to? So anyone else need to say who they are? Anyone new?
Beth, take the opportunity to remind people of how to reach you.
Sure.
To subscribe to your entertainment weekly.
Okay. So if you live in Northern California, and that means all of you here in Sacramento as well, and that means all of you in the
San Joaquin Valley.
San Joaquin Valley. Also, I know that we have lots of people here from Silicon Valley as well. But I do an entertainment and recreation listing on a weekly basis when I'm not actually here at convention. And I send it to you in your inbox, and you can read it or you can delete it. I just don't ask me the questions because I have my staff sometimes say, well, what's playing? And I'm like, did you read your entertainment listing? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, there you go. I'm not helping you. It lists all of the audio-described movies, audio-described plays, and other things of interest in the Bay Area. Like, it talks about, the last one I did talked about guide dogs, guide dog versus service dog, and some new rules that have just been in place with the ADA and how that is going to affect people in San Francisco. We talked a little bit, I think, in the past. We've had some advocacy items. I am always looking for more things to put on, so please send me things. And here's the important address. BBERENSON at lighthouse-sf.org. And I'm going to do that again. bberenson at lighthouse-sf.org. And here's my phone number, 415-694-7322. 415-694-7322. And one of the other things I do is I do information and referral. So if you have questions about any resources or information in the Bay Area, give me a call. And I also want to tell you that our listing is also for those of you who don't get our listing. Thank you, Mike and Tim, if he's in here. Our listing is also on Newsline, so you can get all the information you want on Newsline as well. You can hear it that way. So there's no excuse for you to be sitting home. I will not hear that. You got to be going out and doing fun things.
Great.
Thanks. Thank you, Judy.
Great. Thank you, Beth. Okay. Hey. Okay. Now, even if we don't get to anything else,
hang on. Give me 1 minute. Just talk amongst yourselves.
Welcome to Victor Reader.
Camera's photos. By Louisa M. Oh. Home barrels of apples won't stop me when I start, and a dozen tids won't trip me up, though they may try. I'll show him that a woman can act as well, if not better, than a man. It has been done, and will be again. And I'll never own that my brain isn't as good as his, though it may be smart, cried the excited young person. If you shake your head in that violent way, you'll addle what brains you have got. And I'd take care of them if I were you, began teasing Ted.
Well, I'm sure many of you recognize that voice. The book. When I looked at the NLS website, Terry Hayes Sales was listed with 41 books that I could download. That's only a fraction of the hundreds of books this woman recorded over some 60 years of her career with NLS. I had the privilege of meeting her in Louisville a few years ago. She was at the national convention, and it was like I wouldn't have been more excited. I mean, well, let's put it this way. I also have met Elvis Presley, and I wasn't near as excited meeting Elvis as I was to meet Terry Hayes Sales. Now, we do have our speaker coming back. But I want to open this up to the floor for people who have Terry Hayes Sale shares. Who'd like to go first? Jerry has something.
You know, this, you might find this very interesting. And this is how, you know, real readers, just are so in love with talking. I'll make this brief. When I was in the fourth grade at Francis Blend one day, our teacher came to us and said, you know, we got a donation of old vintage talking books, and you're all welcome to go to the library and pick out what books interest you. Well, I went there, and these books were, and I guess they packaged them this way back in the 40s. They were in big binders, like notebooks, with spiral binding, and the records were in these books. They were actually in book form. And the books I got... The books I got were a book called Sarang the Pygmy, read by Ken Meeker. I got Penrod, read by Jim Walton. The Just So Stories, read by Bert Blackwell. And a book called Pigeon House Inn, read by Terry Hayes, circa 1941. And it was just a pleasure reading hearing her read, even at that young age. I could see that she was one of the top readers in her field. It was just an amazing experience.
That was a great story. Steve Fort, you know what? I'm going to give you your chance, and then Beth has said our guest, she's going to start presenting without our guest, but
our guest speaker's here.
Oh, good. But I am going to give Steve his chance. He came to this meeting because he loves this reader, and by God, he's going to get his say. Where are you?
Hello, this is Steve Fort, and I remember reading books from recorded by Terry Hay Sales when I first received talking books that 9 years old, 1956, you know, that really dates me. And the last book that I read, The Heart Listens, I don't remember the author, but it's good old Terry Hay Sales. And thank you for, that's it for me. Thanks.
I'm coming back. Anne, where are you? So I know where my chair is. My dog is with my husband. We'll get back to this for more shares if we can. But right now we have a speaker to talk to us about the sleep study. I'm going to talk to this person is Ronald Shushard, I hope I'm saying that, is research career scientist at the VA Palo Alto and a clinical associate professor at Stanford. He has fun doing this vision rehabilitation as a profession, as well as hiking and wine tasting in the Santa Cruz Mountains when he can find spare time. Do you know about Bonnie Doon Vineyards, Ron? It's a great one. It's a great one up there in the Santa Cruz Mountains. But we welcome you, and we'll be very excited to hear about your study. Would you like my chair? Or would you prefer to stand?
I can go ahead and stand if that's fine. People who know me know I pace. You can't stand in one spot for any length of time. Thank you. Thank you for the chance to talk this morning. Yes, I'm Ron, Dr. Shukart, if you come to my clinic and all that kind of stuff, but Ron. And I just recently moved to this area from Atlanta, so I am enjoying learning and hiking and wine tasting and all those kinds of things in the Palo Alto area. So this morning, I'm here to represent a group of people that are doing some studies in people that have sleep problems. Anybody here got sleep issues, sleep problems? Okay. Yeah, okay, all right. Well, at least a few of you, and hopefully the rest of you, this will be interesting, and maybe you know somebody, so if you go back home, you'll be able to say, hey, I heard something about some studies. So in California, before I forget to say, in California, the two sites that are involved in the studies that we're doing are in the Palo Alto, Stanford area, and in L.A., south of L.A. I'm sorry, Beth, I keep forgetting. Santa Monica, in the Santa Monica area. So specifically, the one that we are most interested in finding out if there's people that would like to think about participating is that for people who have no light perception or are totally, you know, total vision loss, your body clock and the world clock may not be in sync with each other. In actuality, all of us have a body clock that is 24 hours and some minutes. So basically, every day that goes by or every week that goes by, your body clock goes out of sync if you can't get it back in sync with the rest of the world. The way that all of us that have some vision get in sync is by opening your eyes and getting light in and being able to regulate. For those that don't have that ability, your body will slowly get out of cycle so that in about a month or so, in the middle of the night, your body thinks it's day, and in the middle of the day, your body will think it's night. And so some of you may have experienced that type of phenomena where you basically want to sleep when everybody else is awake, and you want to be awake when everybody else is asleep, and then in a month or so, it goes back in sync with the rest of the world. So a lot of people don't even realize that they have this problem because it comes and goes. So you can use lots of excuses. You can say, well, I'm stressed or my life is busy and that's why I'm having trouble sleeping. It's often not diagnosed. It's often not recognized as being really your body just doing it what it naturally wants to do. So I work with a company called Vanda Pharmaceuticals. Beth and I work with a company that thinks that they have a pharmaceutical, a drug, that will help people get on a regular cycle again, so that the drug will help people stay on a normal 24-hour world clock and help you stay asleep when everybody else sleeps and stay awake when everybody else is awake. So if you have this kind of issue and you would like to participate in this, or if you know of somebody that has this kind of problem of every couple of months their body is out of whack with the rest of the world, we'd like to talk with you. We'd like to be able to see whether or not you would qualify, whether we would be able to help you. And we have a table downstairs in the exhibit hall if you want to come by and talk, or Beth and I can answer questions. I'd like to shut up and let you ask questions at this point in time. I can give you more information, but if you have questions, let's approach it first from questions point of view. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, ma'am.
Do you mean people who absolutely have no light perception, or do you mean the low levels of sight, like a count's fingers at 12 inches or 2400? Or
so typically this particular issue that I'm talking about is for people who have nada, have no light perception. Because it's thought that if you have any kind of light perception, that your body will keep on a normal 24-hour cycle. That doesn't mean you don't have sleep problems. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that there's other causes or other reasons why you could have problems with sleep. But this particular drug is meant to only help people who have no light perception or a total vision loss. I'm going to go over here at the table. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I did sign up for the sleep study down in Santa Monica. I haven't started it yet. But my question is, is it better to do it when one is not going through a stressful time so you get a fair test, or does it matter? Because I had to postpone mine due to some things, and I don't know if that matters.
So I'd like to say it really doesn't matter a whole lot, but it's mostly for you. I would say, you know, you want to do it when you're not in a big stressful time for you personally. But this is meant to be a drug that ought to work even if you are in a stressful time period. But I would say it's less so for the drug or less so for the study and more for you personally, because you're going to be asked to do a bunch of stuff to be part of the study. And if you're already very, very busy or very stressed out with other things, I don't think you're going to want to add one more thing on top of that. You may want to wait, hopefully not too long, but you may want to wait for your own self. Okay, I'm handing the mic around here.
Thank you. Two quick questions, if I may. Number one, there are various patterns of sleep disorder that people have. For example, there are some people who can't go to sleep, or some people who can't remain asleep. From the standpoint of your screening process, would that make any difference?
So, can I steal back the mic from you? Yes. So, he asked whether or not, you know, there are a variety of other sleep problems, like sleep apnea. Do you know that term, sleep apnea? Okay. So, unfortunately, there are a few that would exclude you from this trial at this point in time. It is an FDA trial. And, you know, the FDA has its own idea of what we can and cannot do, not necessarily agreeing with what we think we should or shouldn't be able to do, but because it is an FDA trial, we have to follow what the FDA tells us. And sleep apnea, probably for very good reasons, is an exclusion factor. I would encourage you to get the information and call in, and somebody will call back, and they will talk to you, and you can tell them, rather than me, you know, there are some major things, like sleep apnea is an exclusion, but all the minor things, they can go through with you on a one-on-one basis and tell you whether or not you do or don't qualify for this particular trial, okay? So the sleep apnea is one, but there is a variety of ways that, you know, you can fall asleep but then wake up and not be able to go back to sleep. If that is a problem for you, it doesn't necessarily exclude you from being part of this trial. We're not going to force you to stay in bed for 9 hours or 8 hours to be part of this trial. So that by itself is not an exclusion factor. No. Over here, I think somebody... Yes, here's...
My name's Regina. Do you have to live in the Palo Alto area to participate?
It's a good question. So we do have a 150-mile radius limitation at this point in terms of us supporting you. In other words, if you live within 150 miles of Palo Alto, or if you live within 150 miles of Santa Monica, we will provide transportation for you to come to our site to be part of the trial. Beyond that, we'd have to talk about how is it possible, you know, whether or not there's, you know, we could work out something, but in terms of the rule or the criteria, shall we say, it's 150 miles. Sacramento is. Sacramento is one of the 150. I can tell you because I drove that it's 100 from the door of my place to here. It's 128 miles. So the gentleman over here, let me give you the mic.
How long does the trial last?
Another very good question. So the trial consists of basically three parts. The first part is that you will go, if you are screened in, you will go undergo a couple of months where we have to determine what your cycle, where you at are in your cycle, and what is your cycle. I said a couple of minutes. Some people have like a 24-hour and 10-minute body clock. Others have like a 24-hour and 20-minute or 25-minute. So we have to determine that for each individual person. And we also have to find out at what point will you be in sync with the rest of the world, because that's when we will start giving you the drug, is when you are in sync with the rest of the world. And I guess actually I should be more honest and say you will get either the drug or you get a placebo. So for the first cycle, we find out what is your body clock. The next cycle, you get either the drug or the placebo for the next 6 months. And then for another 6 months, you would be allowed, whichever, if you are on the placebo or on the drug, you'll be allowed to go on the drug or stay on the drug for an additional 6 months. So you do get $1,500 to participate in the study, hopefully no expenses in terms of transportation. We know we are asking things of you, and I haven't divulged all the things that you would be asked to do. Quite honestly, I will tell you that what we have people in the study already, and what we're hearing from the people in the study, maybe the lady here that said she's already heard about it and signed up for it can share her experiences, but what we hear from our participants that are in the study is that the worst part of the study, besides, you know, having to make sure you come to the visits and everything, is the way we determine your body clock and your circadian rhythm. That's the fancy term for your body clock, normal 24 hours circadian, is that we take urine samples. Or actually, you take urine samples. So you have to provide us with urine samples. And that's a problem for some and not so much a problem for others. It all depends on your personal, you know, lifestyle. If you're in a place where it's difficult for you to provide a urine sample in a tube, it's basically you put it in a bottle, and we give you all the packing materials and everything to ship it to the lab. So all you have to do is just the actual give us something in a bottle. Other questions? Yes, ma'am, here. She asked what was the name of the company, and the company's name is Vanda Pharmaceuticals. They're out of Rockville, Maryland. And there are clinical sites throughout the United States, Miami, Chicago, Dallas, so on and so forth. But I'm assuming I'm talking to Californians, so I didn't need to mention all those other sites.
Can you talk about also the giveaway that you're having at the...
I was going to save that for last, but yes. Okay. So Beth has arranged that there is a, if you come by the booth, talk to me, or you don't even have to talk to me, we'll let you sign up with your name and some contact information. And at the end of the convention, we're going to do a raffle drawing, and it's
$75. Which you can use online as well.
So the winner will get the $75 coupon. You know, and Beth will make sure that the winner gets contacted if you just give us enough information that we can get a hold of you.
Well, I think they're also doing this is going to be
if you give us the name, we will put you into the registry, and if you are called and respond, you know, then you, the yes, there will be a donation to California CCB, not an individual group within, but CCB in general. Yeah. So there will be a contribution for every person that agrees to go through that initial phone contact.
I just want to tell you that you can come by, find out more information. There are two things going on here. One, we're signing you up for the raffle. But the raffle, when we take your information for the raffle, that is not going to the registry. We will definitely say to you, would you like someone to contact you about this study? And you could say no, and you still go in the raffle. Or you could say yes, and someone else will contact you. We will note that the donation, if you continue on with the study, that the donation should go to CCB.
So, thank you, Beth. Yes, so there is the distinction there, which you're actually signing up for by coming by.
Yes.
I have one more question.
It's how much time to give me. Let me like a 60-second warning.
You have 5 minutes.
Okay.
As far as side effects, because you know every drug has some side effects, is that clearly communicated to your study participants, whether they get the placebo or the drug? Do they know the... Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. Another good question. And absolutely, if you call in, we would go through the whole list. But I can tell you, unless you have some other condition, and I'm talking about, if your diabetes is not under control or, you know, things like that, there is no known adverse effects. You may not believe me. I have no vested interest in this company. I have no stock in Vanda or anything other than just being a researcher that enjoys finding out whether I can help people that have vision loss issues. And this one happens to be on sleep disorders. I run a wide range of research program at Stanford that involves developing assistive technology devices, head-mounted displays, GPS, and other medical rehab. So this is just one study that I'm involved in, and I can tell you that that this drug was actually used for another condition and has been used in humans before. So it's not the first time people have taken this drug. So there really is no expected long-term adverse reactions or adverse events associated. Again, unless you have some other things besides, quote, being normal, older, or younger, older adult type of thing. But again, they'll go through the whole, that is part of the process, that you have to give them basically your medical condition, your health history, and they will make sure that there is no contraindications. That's the fancy term, contraindications. So I think Steve has another question.
Yeah. Ron, just two brief ones. First of all, what stage clinical trial are you at?
So, thanks. Can I steal back the
So this is the this has been designated an orphan drug in the FDA classifications. Basically, that means that it's a very low frequency. Those of you that raised your hands and said, yes, I have a sleep problem, you realize, thankfully, that you're in a very, very small number of people. But unfortunately, it's a big problem, right? So we are trying to take care of something that has very few numbers, but is a big problem. And the FDA calls that an orphan drug. So we are in what's called a fast track orphan drug designation. And this is therefore a phase 2-3 study. So this will be their study that determines whether or not they can go ahead and get approval to start marketing the drug. You cannot buy the drug on the market for this disorder right now, for sleep disorder. You cannot buy it or use it on the open market. This will be the study that will determine whether or not the company is allowed to do that or not.
What's it prescriptive for now?
It's for shift workers, believe it or not. So normal people that have to go all over the place and shift their hours, and whether or not you can encourage the body to shift with the shift workers. So I think the questions are pretty much you know, and again, please come by the table and ask me any questions. I'll be down there most of the time to be able to answer questions. We are recruiting now. Do you have a quick question? Yeah.
Can you give us your contact information?
How should we do this? Do you want? I mean, I can give them mine, or you can give them yours, or.
It's probably better to give them yours, or to give them the information for the registry. Either one.
And I don't have the registry memorized on the top of my head, so. Is it okay to say come by the table and I will absolutely give you? I mean, I'm just off the top of my head, I can give you an email address, but I don't know if that's going to help you. But it's rschuch at Stanford, stanford.edu. rschuch at stanford.edu.
And when is the deadline?
So what I was going to, that was one of the last things I was going to say. We are recruiting right now. The company has told us that we can recruit up to December. So that's your window of opportunity if you want to participate. And that's why I said, you know, to the lady over here that, you know, if you're in a stressful moment of your life, it's not do it now or forever hold your peace. You have a window of opportunity where you can sign in. But please don't wait beyond October, November. You know, don't push it to the last month because they may cut us off. The FDA says we only are allowed to have a certain number of people in the study. But the expectation is that we'll be recruiting till December. And you can contact, you know, the registry, you can talk to the Santa Monica people, or you can talk to me for the Palo Alto. Yes, ma'am. Well, the program is 1 year, as you know, somebody could be on the medicine for 1 year. Again, remember, the first 6 months you're on either the placebo or the drug, and then the next 6 months, it's your choice. It's your choice if you want to continue to be on the drug. On either group would then continue to be on the drug.
So, what I'm going to have to... Okay, the only thing I want to say, and my voice is so big, I don't need the mic. The only thing I want to say is that I am in here now because we are best friends, let's face it. We're all library users. I can come around if you want to. I don't know. You tell me, Judy, how you want to do this so I don't disrupt your meeting.
Let me go ahead and take the mic back.
Yeah, here it is. Again, thank you very much for this opportunity, and I hope that, you know, if not, please spread the word if you have friends that may or may not have this problem. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We do actually, we're all coming back for the lunch, and no one has given me instructions that we need to actually vacate the room. But I do want to stop now to give people a chance to come to the room for us to move the Braille and to get the head, you know, get the tables organized. So I'm going to adjourn this meeting. If anybody wants to see Beth, whether they just call out to her or catch her in this room, she'll be here for the next few minutes, and, you know, give her your info. Can I thank my Kahlua group and everybody for being here? I'm thrilled, and I think the meeting, it was a good beginning. Thank you so much.
Yay.
Oh, I guess we need a call for adjournment. A motion to adjourn, please. So moved from Ann, so second from Peter, adjourned.